Welcome to your Found Family podcast, where we don't just have a heart-to-heart, we connect soul to soul. I'm your host, Lizzie, a certified coaching practitioner who found family outside of blood family. In our Found Family, you are accepted and assured that you are not alone. Subscribe and tune in for educational and empowering soul chats with women from all over the world, talking about well-being, personal growth and development, and mental and emotional health. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Found Family. I'm really excited. I have another special guest with me today, Jody, and we are going to be talking about the emotional wellness, especially during COVID-19. As a family therapist for over 20 years, Jody shows people how to create practical miracles even in the most difficult times. As an inspirational speaker, she helps Generation Z and their parents find their diamond confidence, teaching usable tools to push past fear, connect with their personal agency, and expand their consciousness. As an anxiety survivor, she totally gets it. As a mom of teens, she double dog gets it. Through her TEDx Wilmington talk, Calm Anxious Kids, and her best-selling book, You, One, Anxiety Zero, Jody is changing the way that we understand the current mental health crisis. Look for her newest book, Anxiety, I Am So Done With You, A Teen's Guide to Ditching Toxic Stress and Rewiring Your Brain for Happiness, which is coming out in July 2020. Jody, hello. I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you.
So great. And again, what an incredibly powerful and important topic to be talking about, as we are May, June, and we're still here, and there's still lots of stress, lots of emotions. So emotional well-being is definitely still and will always be something that's very important, but definitely now. So to start off, would love to ask, what are some of the most important things for emotional wellness, especially now that we are physically distancing?
I think I've isolated two of the most important things, and I'm sure, you know, over this half hour, we'll talk about more, but what I'm seeing is the two most important things, if you're going to prioritize, is routine, having some kind of routine. You know, kids lost the routine, and that helps them make sense of the world. That helps their mind, you know, our mind kind of races a little bit more when we're unorganized, and we have a lot more stress hormone when we're unorganized, and that goes for our schedule. And so it doesn't have to be really strict, because actually it could be worse if it was too rigid, right? There's got to be some flexibility in there, but having some kind of routine, like going to bed the same time, waking up the same time, eating at the same time, working and playing, you know, in general time blocks, is an important thing to have online, because there could be stress just from that could alleviate one layer of stress. It gives us like something, your mind's like, oh, I understand this. And it doesn't have to worry about that. So that was really important. And we're 8 weeks in. So hopefully a lot of people kind of fell into a little bit of a routine already. Mm-hmm. To be totally opposite, we also need novelty. So we need routine, and we also need some novelty. And so you could do this about having a little bit of a purpose, doing things for other people. There's creative ways you could bake something and drop it off at somebody's house, or make a little craft and drop it off to cheer somebody up, visit somebody different, socially distanced from their driveway, just to check in on them, talk through the window to an elderly neighbor. Some kind of novelty, a project you've never done before, a sport or some kind of activity, creating something. Creativity is so important to have online right now. Yeah. You know, using that prefrontal cortex. And so, yeah, so routine and then novelty, mm-hmm. just to be human.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can totally agree and attest on both things, because I would say that for me, sometimes the novelty in my schedule is not waking up in the same time exactly every single day, like on the weekends. Like now, we were just talking before we jumped on that it's like every day is blending. So I have found that Monday through Friday, I'm still keeping the consistency, but on Saturday, Sunday, you add a little bit of spice in there. But one thing, especially like, you know, as a woman, for me, like I feel like it's been such a great grounding to wash my face, put on my makeup, and change out of my pajamas. That has been like a very, very important wellness practice. And I have found that on the days that I don't do that, I don't feel good. Like I've conditioned myself to think that if I'm still in PJs without makeup on, I'm sick at home, you know? So I'm like, no, I'm going to put makeup on even if I'm just, you know, like even when I'm not doing a podcast, it's like, it's still part of my routine. So thank you for sharing. I totally agree.
No problem. And somebody else, it might be the opposite. That's what we have to understand. You know, we can put all these tips out there and say all these things, but really we know what we like to be creative about. Mm-hmm. You know, we know what we're interested in to bring that novelty about. For some other people, they love to drop in and just be themselves and not wear makeup. Mm-hmm. And so all of it's okay. You know, when we hear these podcasts and different things of tips, or, you know, right away, I've been doing these Facebook lives on Facebook every Monday at 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. On my page. And so every time I say something, you might be feeling this way. I get a bunch of people saying, I don't feel that way. Is that okay? Mm. Like, we're so ready to judge ourselves no matter what. And we just have to really like have some compassion. We're all different, and what works for each person is really different. And so when I give suggestions, I'm real loose mm-hmm. about, you know, it has to be right for you.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that, because that is such a great point. We're all human and we share that, but we are very different people and define what works for us. So absolutely.
But we want to judge ourselves really big. We want to do it right. Whatever it is, we got to do it right.
And I teach that to my clients too. I'm like, please deprogram this idea of having a right and a wrong, especially growing up in the household that I grew up in. I was constantly judging myself and believing that there was this perfect way or the right way or the wrong way. And I would judge myself and be very angry with myself if I didn't do it the way that I thought I needed to. So being able
to- That is a destroyer of emotional wellness, right?
Oh my gosh, completely.
There is not a right and a wrong.
Yeah, mm-mm. Definitely.
I mean, in some, you know, I mean, there's ethics, but that's totally different.
Right. Another podcast episode. And so with the anxiety and the stress, how are ways that we can cope during COVID-19, especially for the moms who are listening right now who might be experiencing even more anxiety and stress?
I think like when our kids are feeling out of control, we're feeling out of control. And then, and you know, there's a lot of moms who are working from home, and a lot of people who are working from home are actually working more hours than they were before anyway. It's like, they're trying to like prove that they're doing a good job. It actually is more and not less. I mean, I everyone's different. So some people I have a little bit less, or they have a little furlough time or something, but parents are working so hard, and then they're trying to do the home, help their kids with the homeschooling stuff. It's so much. But if our kids are feeling out of control, we're feeling out of control. And I think a lot of kids are feeling out of control. And so, so trying to, you know, get the routine and then get that novelty in. If a kid is really struggling during this time, like they just can't stand it, they're feeling really trapped, you want to bring that novelty in as much as you can. Be creative, be active about that, about making a fort, changing up the direction, where the furniture is, something, anything to bring something different into the day. You know, make cinnamon rolls that you don't normally make, just because that novelty is going to really help them get through it. And it adds some fun and adventure. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so much seriousness out there, and there's so many things to be stressed about. And so if we could fit some lightening up activities in, that would really, really help us.
Mm-hmm. That's such a great point. And I, when I was working to spice things up, I was actually taking my laptop and working in the kitchen. We have an island, and it was something that was very different than what my norm was. And even though it was something that seems like not a big deal, like, okay, big whoop, you brought your computer into the kitchen, it literally changed my mentality, because I was also standing. I wasn't sitting. You know, we're spending so many more hours sitting. And unless people are doing, you know, taking walks outside or doing home workouts, the exercise goes, you know, the extent of our exercise is walking from the living room to our another room or to the bathroom. And so, you know, just being able to do work standing made such a difference for me too.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And
exercise is so important right now.
Yes.
Like just getting some, and what we do in my family, there's five of us here, And so we exercise for it. We do walks almost daily, but we walk 3 miles daily, but different people, you know, my husband and I walk. And then we do 4 times a week, we do weightlifting, and each person gets a day to organize, to plan the routine. And I've been lifting weights at home for a really long time. And so I have a lot of kettlebells and different weights. So we have the stuff here, thank goodness. I know not everyone does, but you could use your body weight for a lot of the activities. But yes, we commit to a half hour 4 times a week, and somebody, you know, my 16-year-old daughter does it, or my 20-year-old, or my, you know, 28-year-old stepson here. And so we take turns. And that makes it novel, but there's a routine.
Just thinking that. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we're building, you know, we're sore. It's something we're all sore together. We stop work at a certain time. You know, we go do that. We go back to work. You know, we slip this half hour in the middle of the day. It's like, we had to do it around everybody's calls.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. And actually, for those that are listening to the or watching the episode on YouTube, I have those these charts behind me, and I'm doing Beachbody programs. And I've been a part of Beachbody now as a member for the past 2 years. And I'm also doing a weightlifting with my boyfriend. And we can, again, like have that commonality where we're both sore together. We're doing our workouts together. This room is multi-purpose. It's like the office. I have my books here. We have storage. Yeah. There's the gym, you know, so it is really great. And to be able to do that with the people that you're at home with definitely help to change the mood and can help with the overall wellness from all different aspects, from like physiology to the mental health. So
yes. Yeah.
And I love what you guys do at your household where you take turns with creating. I mean, that's such a fun idea. You know, like now I'm like, that's a really good idea.
I mean, how do you get teens to like put up with their parents that long? You have to give them something, you know?
But even just like, you know, if people are living with roommates or something, it's like, even with my boyfriend, it's like to be able to say like, hey, I'm going to make plans for today. You make plans for tomorrow. And like, just to, you know, cause I personally like the element of surprise for things. And again, depends on different people, but that does make things fun. I love that idea.
Thank you.
Great. And so, in a similar vein, what can we do to release fear, increase confidence, and find purpose during these times of uncertainty?
And those are big questions. I guess, so we could really focus on all the things that are out of our control, or we could focus on the things that are in our control. Mm-hmm. And so the things that are out of our control sometimes are like a beacon for our attention, especially now with so much news. You know, it's just so tempting to be like, what's happening today? And how many people? And, you know, there's so much like out there. And then there's, you know, divisions, and everyone's thinking something different. And so it's very, very difficult, right? There's so much coming in. And so you have to kind of stop. You have to, at some point when you know it's affecting you too much, you just stop letting it come in, right? Because once it's in there, it's hard. You have to get rid of it. You have to do the work. And you have to anyway, right? So you have to constantly just be like trying to consciously let go of stuff that came in. But you also want to not let it come in anymore. I know a lot of people are like, I'm doing self-care all day long and I still am barely making it because it's so stressful. I'm like, you got to block it out. And so we do this energetic work that we, you know, in my book for teens, I call it an energetic eye roll, where it's like, doesn't even come in. It's like,
that is awesome.
It's like decrease the meaning before it even comes in. Hmm. And so sometimes we have to get off the media to stop taking it in. And then building confidence is, you know, some of the things we already talked about. If you make a commitment to doing something little every day, like sit with a candle or meditate or exercise, or eat some more greens or something, when you make a commitment to doing something and then you do it, mm-hmm. and you see yourself doing it, that's the best way to build confidence. I mean, that's like the simplest way to build confidence. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, we notice all the things we don't do, but we don't notice all the things that we do. And so I have my clients write down 3 things a day that they did every night before they go to bed, and they do the gratitude. The gratitude's about, it could be about something someone did for you, or the pretty sunset or whatever, right? The cool breeze. But I want them to notice something that they took initiative on, because we don't notice this stuff. We notice all our deficits, It makes us feel horrible about ourselves. And so we really have to have a practice to start looking at those things. And when you write down three a day, then eventually you start to notice them all the time, and you connect with your abilities and your skills. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, anxiety really has us not trusting ourselves at all, because mm-hmm. we see all our deficits and we think, I can't handle anything. I make all mistakes and all my deficits. I can't get anything done. But if you start looking at, I mean, we are mad survivors. Like, humans are adaptable. We're survivors. Whatever age you are right now, you have survived so many things, mm-hmm. but we don't notice any of that stuff that we do. And that's what we have to change. I think that's the most important thing to change. That, and then celebrate the things you do, and then you're connecting with your skills. And when anxiety is like, you can't, you're like, yeah, I have skills. Mm-hmm. I can.
Yeah. No, I love that you brought that up, and you're absolutely correct. I think that a lot of the times, to piggyback on that, we take things for granted, and we often look, even if we are, let's say, aware of the things that we're doing, we're like, that's not a big deal. You know, like, I'm not going to consider that to be an achievement or a win. And we don't take the time, as you said, to write down these things and really be like, wow, I am resilient. I am persevering. There are some great things that I've gotten done today. Even if it is a list of like one or two things, you're taking a moment to reflect and really honoring yourself and recognizing what you've done. And that does increase the self-confidence. And you are like absolutely the steps to do that.
Yeah. There's so many things in our life that invalidate us. And mm-hmm. so we have to start to validate ourselves a little bit, you know, acknowledge ourselves, have gratitude for ourselves. And once we do that, everything changes. You know, when I accomplish anything I accomplish, I always celebrate that. Mm-hmm. And it's not, it doesn't have to be big. It's like a pregnant pause. And I'm like, I just did that. I got it done. We don't do that. As soon as we get something done, we go, oh my God, look at all the other stuff I have to do. It's so heavy. It's exhausting. Yeah. But if you're like, look what I did, I just did that. Burst of energy. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite. And so of course then I'm going to have energy for the next thing, and confidence in myself about it. And I think that's really one of my biggest keys to happiness, is that celebrating those things. Mm-hmm. And it starts with writing down three things a night that you did. So you start to notice it.
Absolutely. That's so great. And then I think that we kind of touched a little bit on the finding our purpose during these times of uncertainty, where, you know, I think you mentioned at the beginning of this chat where it's really being able to take this time to sort of dive deeper into all of that. And I can personally attest, because as we were chatting before we started the recording, that, you know, because I am on furlough, I am really optimizing this time at home to focus on my coaching practice, to create more content for my social media platforms. Like, I have found that silver lining. And even in the midst of the uncertainties, I'm like, I am living out my purpose with even more intention and even more purpose, mm-hmm. because I am choosing to create that, you know, like, I'm making my schedule and everything according to this new direction, really, you know, since I've got the time. And just to encourage our listeners to really, you know, see where during the day they can, you know, sort of insert these little things. If it means learning something new, some of my friends are like learning new skills. Former roommate is like picking up rollerblading, you know, like really cool things. And it goes back to what you said about the creativity, is like being creative, tapping into that, which I think, you know, I think that creativity is like the glue that really helps us with the self-confidence and with everything, because we're doing things according to our, you know, desires too.
Right. I mean, you know, our brain is really evolved to problem solve all the time. And when we don't have a problem to solve, we make up problems.
Yeah.
So if we always give it something to, it's a project, something to be creative about, and then we're really developing that prefrontal cortex, and there's less room for negativity. There's less room for anxiety. There's less room for depression. Because we're really, you know, and it's all confidence. Mm-hmm. So if we don't have to do all the things that we had to do for 2 million years to survive a day in the hunter-gatherer times.
Thank God.
Right? So, thank goodness, right? So we have all this luxury, but with this luxury gives us a lot more brain space. And if our brain doesn't need it for something, then it's going to make up something to need it for. And that often, most of the time, is negative thoughts, negative, like made up problems. That's really why anxiety and depression is becoming so high is because our need for even chores has gone down in the last 50 years. Mm. Even in the last 20 years, our activity, like our need to do those kind of things has gone down. Wow. With modern conveniences. And so it's, you know, that's why we're having such a crisis right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so I do want to also take time to talk more about your upcoming book, Anxiety, I'm So Done With You. Again, A Teen's Guide to Ditching Toxic Stress and Rewiring Your Brain for Happiness. Would love for you to give us some sneak peeks and just talk more about it. And again, it's
sure.
Quite in alignment with all of this about stress and anxiety.
Sure. And I do have my TEDx Wilmington talk, Calm Anxious Kids, you know, I've really started to develop this theory about why anxiety is going up. Because there's so much out there with all our media out there and commercialism, you know, kids are not learning cause and effect. They're not learning that they have to put this work in and get this result. Because all the commercials say you get this because you're cool and you just deserve it. Mm. Or they compare themselves to other people on social media and it looks like they're just like born happy. Like it just comes out of nowhere. They don't see everything that goes into that photo. Or we see dangers all the time. Like there's a lot of reasons why this social media is stressing us out. And it's like, you know, these violence happens, these random acts of violence happen. And so we're getting this message. And kids aren't learning cause and effect. That's why, you know, the work ethic's going down. But what's happening is their sense of worth is going down. Mm. Because when they don't get the thing, you know, the message is everything happens at random. And when they don't get the products, you know, that because they're cool, then they don't understand why. And so they just think it must be something about their worth, but they don't understand why. And so they don't know how to fix it. And they just feel more powerless, more worthless, more out of control. And so so I am helping people understand anxiety. I think there's so much mystery around it. And if teens really understood what it was, they'd know how to get rid of it. Anxiety is highly treatable. Mm-hmm. It's something that so many of us experience and have. And the message out there is that, oh, this is something you have to live with and deal with forever, and you're different than normal people. That is so not true, like in any way, shape, or form. This is something that's coming out of our culture, mm-hmm. And it's increasing, and we need kids to know that this is not your fault. This is coming out of our culture, but there is something you could do about it. Mm. We understand why you feel this way, but you're suffering. Let's help you get better.
Wow. That's so powerful. And really, it's like, you know, to think that social media was not part of my growing up. I didn't really start to get on. I'll be 30 next year, but like, I'm trying to think back of when, you know, there was instant messaging and MySpace and whatever, but I still didn't feel like it was, you know, clearly it was nothing like it is now. But the way in which you just phrased that, like this instant gratification that people see, okay, well, all of a sudden this person just popped up on social. Now they have 1 million followers. Now they have this. I just joined TikTok and there's this girl who has like 54 million followers and like they're dancing videos and you almost think, you know, and I'm sure even people in my age group could look at that and be like, how is that possible? Like I recognize she had to do some type of effort, but sometimes it does give that illusion and most of the time this like false illusion that this is just like, oh yeah, it happens overnight. They didn't put any work towards it. Even if it looks easy, maybe it was easy.
Right. So it's separating kids from the skills. It's like separating from them understanding that they have skills or that they have agency to do anything. So all of these kids are completely separated from their personal agency. They don't know it exists really. And their life is really scary, but in reality, they're highly adaptable humans. Mm-hmm. Like we are as humans, we're highly adaptable, but when you don't believe in yourself, man, everything sounds scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we need to help these kids believe in them, know what we know. And actually parents are worried, like adults are worried. We're worried about them, but that just reinforces their worry. We need to be like, hey, you're adaptable. You have this brain, you have the ability, you know, let's teach you cause and effect. It's an easy concept. And let's get you knowing that you have this agency to do something about it. And that's basically what I'm saying, but I'm talking in their language. I'm hopefully, I had a lot of some beta readers really like it who are teenagers. So I hope I really nailed it here to deliver something that could really change the way kids see themselves and change the whole mental health crisis so that it's not a problem anymore. Because schools don't know what to do. Parents don't know what to do.
I know. And this is where I really hope that your book is able to go into schools. And, you know, my dream and hope would be that schools start to adopt this as part of their curriculum, because
I really want it in all health curriculums, like it needed to be required reading in every health class. I think that would be really, really important. That's my dream. So that's what I'm working on now.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I'm not working directly with children or anything like that, but being also in the space of self-confidence and helping people to really understand and know their self-worth and learn the steps to get there. You know, it starts young. And if we're able to use tools and people and resources to get that seed planted in their heads, like earlier, you know, I think that this is a really great time for moms, especially who are listening, you know, to go and get copies of your book, to bring them home, to incorporate that in part of their routines, you know, and to start, especially now, using this time that we have at home to introduce this to the children, especially if it's for the very first time, you know, so it's like we're all learning and growing together, but to be able to use this time to start developing these habits is going to be really important.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so it comes out in July, which is very, very soon.
And yeah, so, but it's out for pre-order, so you can get it. So you don't have to forget, you know, you don't have to try to remember to go back and get it. Just get it right now and it'll show up when it's released. But
perfect. And I will have all of the links to Jodi's books, to her website, to all of her social media in the description of this episode. And just as a final closing, you know, before, because I always love to end the podcast episodes with a very empowering way, with, you know, ways that we can implement, you know, something to overcome the stress and anxieties of today, like today, you know, what can our listeners leave with today, as a way to, you know, cope with this and to start their emotional wellness?
Yes. I think it comes down to belief. I really want everyone to believe that whatever they're feeling, they don't have to stay there. It's temporary. And that things can get better. If they're not feeling good right now, some people are feeling great. But if you're not feeling good, that things can definitely get better. And you have so much more potential than you know that you have right now. And if you believe that, then you could step into it. And, you know, come on, hang over out with me. I have tons of videos on YouTube. I'm on Facebook Live every Monday at 11 a.m. and the link will be here. And so come ask me your questions. I still work with people personally. And so you could work with me as well. It gets better. And don't tell teenagers that this is the best time of their life. Don't tell them that. Because it's really scary to hear that, because it doesn't feel very good. People said that to my kids all the time, and my son was so depressed by that idea because he had a really rough time. And I was like, no, it gets better. It gets better and better and better. Mm-hmm. And you have control over that. So don't worry.
Great. Wonderful message. Thank you so much, Jodi.
You're welcome.
And again, family, please go and show Jodi all of your love and support. Again, everything will be in the description of this YouTube video and this podcast episode. Thank you again for everything. And I'm so excited for your book to launch. And we're going to spread the awareness before it even launches. So yeah, there it is for those that are watching on on YouTube. Love it. Oh my gosh, that's perfect.
Thanks.
So excited. Thank you again, Jodi.
You're welcome. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and tune in next week for a new topic. To help spread the good vibes, please share this episode with friends and family, or if you share on social, be sure to tag me at Coach Lizzie.